We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. Our children, this is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the word he spoke and heard. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterances and of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham.
Welcome to Prophetic Utterance with Pastor Caris E. Amewells.
Chapter 3, I made mention of it during the course of this teaching. We're continuing our teaching on prophetic utterance. Hallelujah. We shall wrap up next Sunday. Amen. And hope you have been prophesying. Have you been prophesying? Hallelujah. We are a people of prophecy. I said we're a people of prophecy. And it means our lives are regulated by prophecy. Our lives are built by prophecy. Never forget. Our lives, area of our lives. You know, life is compartmentalized. Meaning, we talk about the person's finances, talk about the person's family life. Talk about a person's career. Talk about a person's health. Amen. All these different areas. Your relationships. Your mental state. These areas are the components of your life. Hallelujah. And building up these many areas of your life is done, according to the scriptures, by prophetic utterance. That is very important. You see, we are not taking this series to while away time. If you have not been around, I encourage you to get the material, sit with them. This is very important. When you went to school, you were told that certain courses were electives, but certain courses were core. You see, there are teachings of scriptures that are not electives as far as your destiny is concerned. Come on, church. They are core courses as far as your destiny is concerned. You have to understand that. Very important. So you know where to focus your energy. You know how to dig your well. You know how to put efforts in the development of your life. Now, teachings like this, understanding prophetic utterance, understanding the secret, the concepts of the prophetic, so to say, is important to the fulfillment of your destiny. It says, for ye are children of the prophet. Put it up for me. Acts chapter 3, verse 25. It says, you are children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers. Ye are children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And we explain this briefly, that saying we are the children of the prophets doesn't mean the prophets gave birth to us biologically. The people he was addressing here were the children of Israel. And saying that doesn't mean the prophets give birth to them biologically. But it says they were products. And the church is born out of this same thing. If you study 1 Peter, you begin to see how that the prophets of old were moved by the Spirit. And the Spirit of Christ which was in them, this signify what and what manner of time. You remember? Talking about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that shall follow. You remember that? In 1 Peter, when you study 8 to 10 or so, you see there. So the prophet spoke by the Spirit of Christ that was with them. You know what Isaiah spoke about you? Oh, is somebody here this morning? David, when the prophetic anointing came upon him and he wrote the Psalms, he spoke about you. Jeremiah spoke about you. The prophet of old spoke about you. So the Spirit of Christ spoke about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. Guess what? Those glories that should follow are us. Glory to God. It's in the Bible. We are God's glory. We are the results of that great exchange, of that step of faith that he took. Do you know how valuable we are to God? Religion has taught us that we are sick, dirty, useless worms that God had mercy on. That is not true. That is not true. By now you understand the principle of exchange. When you give something to get something. You give something of value to get something of value. Nobody goes to the market and give 2 million naira to get a plate miyango pepe. Oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. Why a plate of miyango pepe is not, you know, miyango pepe? All right, if you stayed around enough, you understand miyango pepe. It's a kind of pepe. It's very hot. This is the pepe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So imagine dropping 2 million naira to pick a plate of miyango. Will you do that? No, you won't do that. Why? The plate of miyango pepper is not worth 2 million naira. What you give in exchange tells of the value of what you are picking. In fact, can I take it further? Actually, what you are about to pick has more value to you at that time than what you are giving. If not, you would have kept what you have. Come on now. So you carry 3 million naira to go and buy a car. It's because that car is more important to you than the money. Oh, is somebody here? No, you'd have kept your money. Even though the car is worth 2 million, you have to exchange. This money is not of much use to you, even though it's useful, compared to the car you want to pick. Am I talking to someone? So you gave the money in exchange for what you really want. Oh, so God was not just moved or just interested in having only one son. His priority was having many children. So he gave his then only begotten son. Am I talking this morning? To have many sons. His sons and she's sons. We are valuable to God. I don't care what life has done to you. You are valuable to God. I don't care what they have told you. You are valuable to God. You must understand your value. This lack of identity, this lack of understanding of value and identity is what makes believers do certain things. Are you aware? They just do certain things because they don't know what they are worth. They don't know what they are worth. They don't know what they are worth before God. One of the signs that you are growing is your ability to see yourself the way God sees you. And also your ability to see others the way God sees them. If you can't see yourself the way God sees you, and you can't see others the way God sees them, you are not growing. You are not growing. So you begin to ask yourself, how does God see me? He gave his only begotten son just to have me as his son, as his daughter. Hallelujah. So when the prophet spoke, they were talking about us. Those words of prophecy brought us forth. Peter the apostle said it again. He says, be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, which is the word of God that lives and abides forever. That means the word of God brought us forth. That incorruptible word brought us forth. That word of prophecy brought us forth. And by implication, we make progress. We are built by that prophetic words. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So this morning, we'll begin to again look at why God wants every believer to prophesy. All right. We saw last week, I believe, from Numbers chapter 11, how that God told Moses said, gather the 70 elders of Israel. And I'll take of the spirit that is upon you and put upon them. And the Bible says, when the spirit came upon them, what happened? They began to prophesy. There were two elders who were not there. And the spirit came upon them also. They began to prophesy. And Joshua the young man said, Moses forbid them. And Moses made an important statement. He said, why are you jealous for me? I pray that all of God's people were prophets. And we say that God has answered that prayer in the New Testament. Hallelujah. That means every believer has the ability to prophesy. Not just that God wants us to prophesy. Why? Prophecy is the compass with which we navigate. It's the building block for our destiny, for our lives. What is prophecy? I say it again. Let me define it again. What's a prophecy? Is declaring God's word with power. With power. Declaring the will, the plans, the purposes, the wisdom of God with power by the inspiration of the Spirit. And declaration enforces compliance on the earth. We said that is what prophecy is. Now there are two streams of prophecy. When we talk about prophecy, there are two streams of prophecy. Let's get into today's teaching. There is the foretelling, meaning you are speaking by revelation, or you are seeing and declaring by revelation what is to come. What you have seen, what the Spirit of God has shown you, is prophecy. But the second stream is forth-telling. It means to declare what God has said so that you can see what you have declared. The first one is the revelatory dimension of the prophetic. Meaning you see by revelation. You see by the Spirit of God. The Spirit grants you revelation. You see. It could be in a dream. It could be by word of wisdom. You just see. I say, oh, this is what I'm seeing. So person is going to win this election. Like while I was asleep, I saw certain things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then speaking it forth. I'm prophesying because I'm speaking what I saw. But you see, for the most part, that is not what the gifts of prophecy is. That gift of prophecy that the Bible says every believer should function in, I'm going to show you shortly, is the second stream of the prophetic. And that is telling forth, speaking forth, or forth-telling. Foretelling about the future, forth-telling. Speaking now the mind of God about a situation, about a person, about a place, and watching it come to pass. That is the creative dimension of the prophetic. And something happened in Ezekiel. I want you to follow me closely. Something happened in Ezekiel that shows us which is superior. Many people are saying, oh, I can't see anything, so I can't prophesy. God doesn't want us to live like that. In Ezekiel 37, the Spirit of the Lord lifted the prophet to the valley full of dry bones and told the prophet, foretell. Foretell. Can these bones live? That's foretelling. He couldn't. And God told him, well, if you can't foretell, you can tell false. Oh, somebody did not get that. If you can't foretell, you can tell false. If you can't foretell, you can tell forth. Oh, some of you have not caught what I'm talking about. Ezekiel couldn't see by revelation what was going to happen to dry bones. God said, no problem. I'll give you words to speak so that you can see something. Oh, somebody got that. Somebody got that. Somebody got that. He said, prophesy to this bone and say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord. I will cause flesh, sinews, muscles to come upon you. I will cause breath to come upon you. And you shall be a great and mighty army. Ezekiel didn't see it by foretelling, but he spoke it forth by the second stream of the prophetic. And when he spoke it forth, he saw it. So many Christians that try to see, oh Lord, show me the vision of my future. Oh Lord, show me, why am I not seeing in the dream? God is saying, when I give you my word by inspiration, speak it forth. And you will see what you speak. All you need is inspiration. 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 And then you pick that word in your spirit and begin to speak it. So if you can't foretell, forttell. If you can't, there's already the word of God in your spirit. If you can't foretell, Lord, I can't see. Show me who my husband is in a vision. I want to see him. What word have you received? Speak it forth. Lord, show me my children. I want to see. If you see, listen, now you saw it in a dream, doesn't mean it's going to come to pass until you speak it forth. Is somebody here? You speak it forth with power and stand your ground. And stand your ground. In second service, I'll be talking about confronting opposition by the prophetic word. And stand your ground. If you can't foretell, foretell. If you can't see in a vision, 5 hours of vision, foretell. For you will see what you are speaking. Somebody said the fastest way to predict the future is to create it. In fact, they say the best way to predict the future is to create it. And we have the materials for creation. That's a prophetic utterance. My life is of glory and honor. You are prophesying all the days of my life. No lack anywhere. No scarcity. For the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He anoints my head with oil. My money bags overflow. My cup runs over. I'm always in abundance. In the name of Jesus, my children are taught of the Lord. Great is their peace. My path is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. You are prophesying and you are creating realities. You are not waiting for a dream where you are sitting down inside pool of money. So God showed me. I'm going, no. If you can't see that one, speak it. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Speak it. Speak. You must have prophecy sessions. Sessions of prophecy. Where you prophesy about the future. Because in the next 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 6 months, 10 years, you will see what you are prophesying. It doesn't matter what the environment looks like. It doesn't matter what is happening, the economic climate of the country where you live. No, you will live in the reality of that spoken word. You will live in the reality of that prophetic word. It's beyond any and every economic climate. Oh, God's prophetic word beyond every and any economic climate. You will create the circumstances in your path. You will create your own climate. Everyone you see prospering and doing well God's way, not those that are cutting corners, went through this process. Everything they are seeing are product of words spoken either by them or spoken over them. Are you listening to me? This is God's way of operating. We're people of prophecy. Hallelujah. Quickly put up Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. God wants us to prophesy. Every believer to prophesy. Every one of us. By the gift of prophecy. He wants us to prophesy. Now, when you go to chapter 12, let's just go through the spiritual gifts as listed in chapter 12. Give me chapter 12 from verse 5 very quickly. I think we should see it today. Chapter 12 from verse 5. Verse 5, 6 or 7. Just put it on one. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Go down. And there are diversities of oppression, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many people? Every man to profit without. Every man. Every man means every man to profit without. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Next verse. To another, faith. Talking about supernatural faith. By the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. By the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles. And to another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse gifts of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. Verse 11. But all this worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Jump to the last verse of this chapter, before chapter 13. The last verse of chapter 12. That should be... But covet earnestly. Give 30 first. Put verse 30 up. Go back, maybe 28. I want to show you something. There is the gift of prophecy. I told you God wants every one of us to prophesy. That's the truth. And the gift, the manifestation of the gift of prophecy doesn't make it. So when we talk about prophecy, people just think about prophets. Let me just say something about that. A prophet is someone called to sit in a ministry office, ministry gift office. Ephesians 5 shows us, Ephesians 4 rather, shows us that there are 5 ministry gift offices: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You remember that? So there is such a thing as the office of a prophet. So a prophet is not someone who prophesies. A prophet is someone who sits in the office of a prophet, who has accompanying spiritual gifts. Are you listening? So he can prophesy, but much more. A prophet must operate in the revelatory gifts, which are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits, undergirded by a predisposition for intercession. Oh my goodness. So a prophet who is not given to intercession has left his office. I think I've showed you before. The primary call of a prophet is to be for the people toward God. Intercession. And to bring a word from the Lord, especially for a people. They can give personal prophecies, yes. But you see, the office of a prophet, they bring revelation from God. Dispensational revelation from God. Or occasional revelation from God for a community of believers. Are you listening to me? But their primary call is the office of intercession. Very important. They must have a genuine prophet, must have a predisposition for intercession. So that someone is calling somebody's phone number, color of the person's clothes, and all that doesn't make the person a prophet. If he doesn't have a predisposition for intercession, he's not a prophet. The law first mentioned in Genesis chapter 20, from verse 6 and 7, where the word prophet was mentioned, something came with it. And by the law of scriptural interpretation, that's what we call the law of first mention. You have to look at it to understand the meaning of a word. Is that okay? The first time the word prophet was mentioned, intercession was connected to it. He said, and God said to Abimelech in a dream, yea, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. You remember the story when he took Sarai? For I also will tell thee from sinning against me, therefore suffer I thee not to touch her. Now therefore, restore the man his wife. He's a prophet. And he shall pray for who? Did he say he shall see for you? He's a prophet. He shall see for you. He shall prophesy for you. No, he shall pray for you. And thou shalt live. Primarily intercession. Glory to God. And when he did, what happened? There was answer. There was answer. Even the rat in his house began to conceive. Fruitfulness. So a prophet prays for you first before he prophesies to you. Oh. How many of you are around for prayer meeting on Friday and saw what happened? Who remembers? Those that were around for prayer meeting. At the end, we told you, pick somebody who is in need around you. Your friend, family member, neighbor, colleague at the office, and pray for them. Then after the service, call them and prophesy to them. How many of you remember? I remember the lady I gave a word of knowledge to. I say, I hear Susan. How many of you remember that? I hear Susan. Susan is related to you. And she said, I say, I see hospital environment. She screamed that Susan is a friend in Abuja who just got a job in the hospital. And she came here, I say, I see a wedding. Now, let me give you the parts of events. Number one, when we say pray for people, she prayed for Susan. I don't know her. I didn't know her, and I didn't know the Susan. It was Susan she prayed for. And part of it she was praying for, she was having challenge with the person she was supposed to marry. The father said, no, they were not going to marry. Can you see that? She was jumping and crying on Friday for those that were around. So you pray for the person and then you prophesy. Hallelujah. Am I boring you? That's the pattern. That's the pattern. All right, go back to 1 Corinthians 14. God's predisposition, his mind as to whether believers should prophesy or not. So you should prophesy. All right, 1 Corinthians 14. Put verse 1 up for me now. So when he classified, do all prophesy and all that, are all prophets? He's talking about the office of a prophet. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Verse 2, verse 5, or verse 6. All right. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Next verse. Remember, verse 1 says, he wants you, desire spiritual gift, and he wants you to prophesy. He's writing to Christians. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men. Look at the purpose of prophecy. So when someone is prophesying, either prophesying to a group or prophesying to you as a person, because We talk about group prophecy and personal prophecy. Personal prophecy is a New Testament thing. When you study Acts chapter 21 from verse 6, you see personal prophecy there. They gave Paul personal prophecy. And then again, time will not permit us to read it. But when you go and you can check it out. Again, we see people who prophesied who were not called prophets. And we see a prophet showing up. First, the Bible says, Philip had daughters. Four daughters who were virgins who prophesied. Verse 6 or 7 or so. Acts 21. Who prophesied? Who prophesied? And then number 2, there was an Agabus who was a prophet. The Bible didn't say that the daughters of Philip were prophetess. But it said they did prophesy. Are you seeing that? And the focus of that scripture was a personal prophecy. Them telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Can you see? So, personal prophecy. There's something about it. But whether personal prophecy or prophecy to a group, it must produce these three things. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 3. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Does it produce edification? Meaning, does it inspire? The gift of prophecy is not for witch hunting. It's not to play spiritual detective. There is sin in the house. There's a sinner. There's none of those things. Go on. If there's a sinner, pray for the person. Lead the person to repentance. Do you understand? Don't waste our time. So prophecy. Some of us grew up in places where people use prophecy as spiritual detectives. Do I have a witness? You know what I'm talking about. Every time prophecy does not produce edification. To edify means to build up. It means to exalt, to inspire. To inspire. To inspire. So when a prophetic word is given to you, you should have strength knowing that you can do this thing. This thing can be accomplished. Edification, exaltation, and comfort. Does it minister comfort? If it doesn't minister comfort, it's not from God. And by the way, don't let anybody use spiritual experiences to intimidate you. I've taught you. Never. A person told you, he just saw Jesus on his bedroom. On his bed, in his bedroom, before he came for this meeting. Makes no difference. If he's not consistent with scriptures, and you can't feel the breath in the utterance, it's not from God. Am I talking to someone? Never be blown away by physical manifestation. Look for the presence of God. Look for the breath of God. And look for the consistency with scripture. The Bible talks about us judging prophecy. So prophecy must be judged. Must be judged by the inward witness. And must be judged by the measurements of God's word. Thus hear the Lord. That your wife is not really your wife. Your season with her is over. God did not speak.
You don't mean it.
You know why? It's not consistent with scriptures. Am I talking this morning? It's not consistent with God's word. That cannot be from God. The second part of judging it is your heart. Every time it doesn't resonate in your heart, give it time. Give it time. Give it time until it resonates. If the person is trying to force you to do it, that becomes witchcraft. So I can't give you a word of prophecy. If it doesn't resonate, please don't do it. Do you understand? Don't go, don't run off with it. The Lord says you should relocate to Kogi State. And it doesn't resonate in your heart. Don't run off with it. Do you understand? If I'm saying I'm sending you to go and start a church in Kogi, it's different. That's of the gospel. And the moment you say, you knew God sent you to me to serve me, you knew anything could happen. Do you understand? You have come and submitted your will as an associate minister. Do you understand? So that one is not prophecy. Amen. You submitted your will from the beginning. That this is my vision and it's to the ends of the world. So anywhere you are sent to the ends of the world, the calling covers you. Do you understand? The calling covers you. Also, somebody say, your pastor say, go to India. I say, no, Kai. My heart is not, you are not serious. Hallelujah. That's a different book about together. Are you following me? Because there are those who have lost their way to the vision. Oh. When God gives every vision, let me say, when God gives a great vision, he must send people who have lost their way to that vision. Go and study about the men of David. They say, David, thine are we, O David. and we are yours, thou son of Jesse. Do you understand? So if he said, go here, the wells. He said, oh, how I long to drink the waters of the wells of Bethlehem or something. Man, those guys just heard it at the wells. Calabaya. That's very different. Is that okay? There are people like that. But I'm talking about your personal private life. I shouldn't come and say, the Lord is saying you are going to Lokoja. Why is Lokoja coming to my heart? I say, yeah. The Lord say your husband is in Enugu. No resonance in your heart because you are desperate to get married. You pack your load. Nobody likes you there. Nobody has said they love you there. And then you pack your load and go to do just to go and marry. You're on your own, no? God doesn't lead like that. You understand? The job of the New Testament prophet is not to give you direction. I say that again. The job, you'll be grateful for these things I'm telling you. The job of the New Testament prophet is not to give you direction. They confirm what the Lord is already prompting in your heart. And sometimes you may not have heard God, but I will say, just leave it. If it's God's will, it will start popping up. Your mind will just be on it. You have a resonance in your spirit about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So we should prophesy. Edification, extension, call for verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Now, note that the context is talking about the congregation of the saints. Is that okay? But we are picking things as it has to do with prophecy. Is that okay? So when you see that, it's not downplaying speaking in tongues. No. He's saying when you come together, somebody should not stand like this. Imagine I've spent almost 40 minutes before you. And all I'm saying is Ligron Zoste Brandilon Zostepa. Ligo Sapranigon de Soste Paraniga. Oh Lebeno si Bratong Zeste Parani. Ligo Zobrandila Sapaya. Tolian de Susta. Liga Sombra Telia Somatena. And listen, there's no interpretation. I say, lift your hands and bless the Lord. Service is over. He's saying, you will not be edified. So the context here is in the congregation of the saints. Is that okay? He said, when you come together, one has a prophecy. One has a psalm. But let it be done decently and in order. Let it be done according to pattern. When somebody is speaking in tongues, let it be an interpretation. The background is the Corinthian Christians were feeling hyper-spiritual. So when they just come together, it's me. Someone will just come and, Salala Rosa. You are in front of people. You are leading people in worship. You speak in tongues from beginning to the end and you feel spiritual. So that was what Paul was correcting. He says, you guys don't speak in tongues as much as I do. When I'm standing in front of God's people, I speak in a language that they can understand. That was what Paul was saying. Glory to God. You say, can people do that? Yes. You've not seen hyper-spiritual people, you could. They're not really hyper-spiritual. They lack understanding. But there's no such thing as hyper-spiritual. They just lack understanding. Some just do that to be seen, to be observed by men. You know, people do things for different reasons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't engage in spiritual activity to impress people. It's between you and God. Amen. Between you and God, and your spiritual advancement should be on your mind, not to impress people. Is that okay? So that was what he was addressing. Next verse is 5. Rush. I got to rush. I will that you all speak with tongues. Can you see? But rather that you prophesy. So he's telling them that he wants them to prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaks with tongues, except, can you see the condition? He interprets that the church may receive edifying. So again, he's talking about the congregation. Boy, here he says everybody can prophesy. Verse 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking in tongues, okay, so he's explaining and all that. So God wants us to prophesy. Have I convinced you? He wants us to prophesy. He wants us to receive inspired word of the Spirit and speak them forth.
Heaven's resources are released by declarations. Meaning, if you are going to see it, you must speak it forth. You must speak it forth. So, what makes it prophecy? What's the difference between prophecy and when you are just speaking the word of God? You are just in your room, chin, or driving, and say, "Oh, the hand of the Lord is upon me." Or you are saying, "The Lord is my helper in the name of Jesus." That's wonderful. But is that prophecy? No. I'll explain what makes it prophecy. And that takes me to what the next thing, stirring yourself up to prophesy. Stirring yourself up to prophesy. What makes it prophecy is that inspiration of the Spirit. And we can stir the inspiration of the Spirit. We have a part to play. It's not all up to the Holy Ghost. You know, there are people that believe that when you prophesy, you don't know what you are saying. Like in the old movie, the young man with Peter just says something. Say, "Oh, what did he say?" "I don't know. It just came." No. You can remember. You have a part to play in prophecy. For some, even speaking in other tongues, they just feel, "Oh, you only speak in tongues." When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, that is a little different. That one is diverse tongues. The regular devotional believer's tongues is at your control. It's the language of your spirit. Is that okay? It's not when you are high and it says, so the spirit has lifted. No. It's the language of your spirit. You can decide. You can decide. You can decide. He said, "Pastor, how do you know?" When you read verse 14 and 15 of 1 Corinthians 14, you see, he says, "When I speak in other tongues, my spirit prays." He says, I. Then verse 16 said, "I will." Kalavaya. Will. Your will is involved. Verse 15. He said, "I will speak. I will pray with my spirit." That's your will. Your will. "I will pray with my spirit." So your will, you decide to pray with your spirit. And that praying with your spirit is speaking in tongues. "I will." So that's your will. That's your will. You say from 5 to 8, "I will be speaking in tongues." So you're not waiting for the Holy Ghost to come upon you. From 5 to 8, "I'll be speaking in tongues." So once it's 5, say, "It's time to speak in tongues. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you." Mandebo subratile konzestepa. Liro zepane no sepa, la pronda kibaska. With understanding, knowing that you are speaking to God. It says, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks to God." You know that you are speaking to God. You know God is there hearing you. Even though your mind cannot understand what you are saying, God is hearing you. Can I get an amen? It's your will. Deliberately. So bateliba sudre kibaska. And why am I saying this? Because speaking in tongues leads to prophesy. In speaking in tongues, you stir yourself to prophesy. You stir yourself to receive inspiration. Inspiration. To receive the word from the Lord. When you speak in tongues, you give the Holy Spirit permission to quicken the word of the Lord in your spirit. To quicken the now word, which is what prophecy is. Prophecy is a now word. It's specific. Specific word for you. Specific word for that situation. You've been speaking in tongues and suddenly you hear in your heart, "Fear not, I have gone ahead of thee." And then begin to speak it. "I refuse to fear. For the Lord has gone ahead of me. I refuse to fear. For the Lord has gone ahead of me. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. For the Lord has gone ahead of me." You know what you're prophesying. But you stirred yourself up. You were stirred to prophesy. You were stirred in your spirits to prophesy. Monte palaton zepa. Speaking in tongues. Worship. Basically, things that position your spirit to receive inspiration. Until you start feeling fire. On the inside, you feel. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about. That fire on the inside. You feel that fire. Sema teba. There's a boiling. That you start speaking. you start speaking, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This land cannot swallow me. Rather, I hold it in my hands. In the name of Jesus, this organization cannot swallow me. You begin to speak words of power. What does this mean? You can deliberately say, I'm going to prophesy. And you know how to start. I know how to start. You say, I've got to change this situation. You may even know the words for it. There's scarcity, and you know the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's part of the scriptures. But you don't even rush to speak it. You start speaking in tongues. What you are looking for, you want to stir yourself. Remember, Ezekiel said, I prophesy as I was commanded. So you are waiting for the command of the Spirit. When that word becomes alive, alive in your spirit, then you speak it. And the moment you release it, no force can hinder it. Can I get an amen? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Can you speak in tongues right where you are on your seat? One more time, speak in tongues. Sabayako Sata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Malako Zeshta. All about this, please just open your mouth and pray. I go from glory to glory. Mayatoba Saya. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. Put the tongues in your mouth. Let's rise to our feet. Sabalagabaya Rabba. Mando Gabuso Shebrenda Kabosa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look up at me, everyone. Listen. If you didn't get anything out of this service, know that your mouth is important to the fulfillment of your destiny. That means anything that makes your mouth feel heavy when it's time to talk God's word is against your life. You know, so your mouth just feels, they say, speak. Your mouth, eh? A man of God said that a closed mouth is a closed destiny. I mean, anything that's making your mouth heavy, every time we say speak God's word, or even in your closet, you can't clear the word of the Lord, is against your destiny. And that's why I'm helping you. You stir yourself by speaking other tongues until you start altering the mind of God in a known tongue. Do you understand? Anything and everything that makes your mouth feel heavy in speaking the word of the Lord is against your destiny. That is the truth. Hallelujah. Now, for those who are here for second service, in second service, we will be prophesying. And those of you who came for first service alone, when you go home, quickly practice the things I'm saying. The word of God is for practice. The word of God is for doing. It's for practice. Meaning, as we be prophesying in the second service, you prophesy in your house. Lift your hands toward heaven and thank the Lord for his presence, for his word, for his glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We decree and declare that we are established in this truth. I release upon your people the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Bible says the testimony of Jesus.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.